1 John 4:17. Holy Spirit, help me. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts today. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read from the New King James, 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Ask yourself a question this morning. If I were to die right now and stand judgment, would I have confidence before God? Would I be bold before God? Love has been perfected among us and matured in us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because what? As He is, so are we in this world. Now the New Living Translation says, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. We can face God with confidence because we live like Jesus in this world. The Good News Bible says love is made perfect in us in order that we may have courage on the judgment day. And we will have it because our life in this world is the same as Christ's. Now, I want us to take an evaluation of where we really stand today. We all need to do that. I need to do that. We need to get recalibrated, okay? Do I live like Jesus? Do I walk like Jesus? Does my version of Christianity look like Jesus? How many know that Jesus went to synagogue? He went to church. How many know that Jesus, His life did not revolve around synagogue? But Jesus thought it was important enough that He went. Amen? Well, how many know that Jesus' entire life was for the fulfillment of the Father's will? Amen. He is our example. He is our standard. He is the one that we are to live like. We are to become like Him. And if my Christianity does not look like Jesus, then it's a false Christianity. There are many messages, many churches, many preachers today that are preaching all kinds of stuff. But the question is, does it look like Jesus? If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's not from Jesus. Are you hearing me? Jesus lived a selfless life. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Does my walk look like Jesus? To me, this is sobering. Because judgment day is coming for everyone that's here. Amen. Everyone that's ever been born. We're all going to stand judgment. And I want to have confidence. I want to be bold in that day. I want to know that I had lived my life for God. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. Amen? I want to know that my heart is right with my Creator. I want to know that when I see Him in that day, He's going to know exactly who I am. He's not going to look at me as He will with some in that day, even those who had been very active in Christian service, and say, now who are you? Well, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we cast out demons in Your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in Your name? He's going to say to them, I never knew you, you that work iniquity. You did your own thing. You didn't do the will of the Father. Jesus didn't do His own thing, folks. He did the will of the Father. For this purpose he came, to accomplish the will for which he was created, the purpose for which he was created. Do you realize, folks, do we realize that if Christ is in us, if we have been born again, if we are his people, then we are now to live according to the will of our Father, just like Jesus. You see, we will have confidence, we will have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. The church in America needs to be evangelized. Amen. The church, much of the church needs to get saved. There are people who are not saved who think they are. Folks, when you are born again, you are a new creation. Your heart changes. Your life changes. Your desires change. You want to live for God. You want to serve God. You want to honor God. And if you're not doing that, you're not content. Because the only thing that contents a believer, a true Christian, a true follower of Jesus, is to do the will of the Father. That's where we receive our bread. Bread satisfies. My bread, my meat, Jesus said, is to do the will of my Father. And if you're here today and we say, I see such a huge gap between where I'm at and where I really should be. Well, that's not a bad thing. Thank God that you can see that. And it should cause us to say, God, I want to enter into the fullness of all that you've created me to be. I want to be changed. Amen. And I want to be equipped. And I want to serve you just like Jesus did. I'm not here for me anymore. It's for you, God. I lived the rest of my life, the past life, for myself. And now I'm to live for you, sold out for you, just like you sold out for me. And you went all the way to the cross for me. I want to live for Jesus all the way. I want to be an all the way Christian. Amen? Amen. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. Does my life measure up to the standard Jesus modeled for me when he walked this earth? Folks, Jesus went to the cross so that you and I could walk in total victory. Total victory. Total victory over sin. Question, does God want us to live with total victory over sin?
Yes.
Absolutely. We shouldn't even have to think about that, right? Amen. Has God given to me everything I need to live in total victory over sin?
Yes.
Absolutely. You see, there aren't going to be any excuses before God in that day. Well, I'm only human. I'm not perfect. Nobody here is perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But too often, we use that as an excuse. See, when we say, I'm not perfect, no, there's a part of you, though, that is according to the righteousness of God. There's a new you in Christ. And you're to live in that life, and the old life is the part that we call human. The old nature, Adamic nature. The old man. If you live according to the old man, you'll continue to be bound by sin. When Jesus comes to dwell within us, we receive a new nature, our new heart that wants to please God. When we live according to that new rule of the Spirit of life in Christ, we have life and peace, and we walk in total victory over sin. I am not condemned today by sin. I am dead to sin, and sin is dead to me. Amen. I'm alive in Christ. If I want to allow my flesh or sin nature to rule, it will. And that's why we must die to sin. We must die to ourselves, to our old nature. To live like Jesus, Jesus in His humanity had to deny His humanity. He had to say no to sin. And He modeled to us how we also could live in total victory over sin. Well, you may say, well, that was Jesus. But let me remind you that in Philippians, the Bible says that He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant. In other words, God, amen, the Word became a man, flesh and blood like you and I. He left His glory and He became like us, folks. So He was not in the sense already in that perfected place. In His humanity, in His body, He had to obey the will of God, and He demonstrated for us how we also can overcome the world. Amen. See, too often we want to make excuses. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, folks, if you're saved, then you're set free from sin. Now, I didn't say that you don't sin. I said you're set free from it, and there's no reason why we should bow down to it anymore. Because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. In order for us to walk in total victory, we need a total victory mentality. Repentance is really changing your mind. When the revelation of the truth comes, the light comes on. All of a sudden we saw something that we didn't see before. And sometimes when the light comes on, we're seeing ourselves in a new light that we never saw before. And I don't like what I see in the old me. How about you? That's why I have to, like anybody else, we have to deny that part of us that wants to sin. We have to say no to Adam, amen, and yes to Christ. Because those who sow to the flesh, of the flesh will reap corruption. A partial victory mentality is also a partial obedience mentality. A partial victory mentality is also a partial obedience mentality. Okay. Well, it's good enough. You know, I'm not as bad as that guy over there. God understands. Me and God have this arrangement, you know. Well, to me, God is like this. To you, He may be like that, but to me, God is like this. That's what the Bible calls idolatry. And the Lord said, you'll have no other gods before me. God has revealed to us. He's given every one of us here a measure of light, and we're responsible for what we do know to be true. To the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So a partial total victory mentality, it usually means a partial obedience mentality. And from 1 Samuel 15:2, remember Saul here in his compromise. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. What did he do? The Lord commanded Saul to kill every Amalekite. He didn't want a trace of Amalek left. Saul returned and boasted about the great job he had done, even though it was obvious he had not fully obeyed the Lord. Now, people can look at that and say, isn't God cruel? Why would God command, you know, him to do such a thing? We need to understand, and we'll read on further, that those are the ones who are murdering and oppressing God's people. And God, in his justice, okay, has to execute justice, otherwise he's not a just judge. The difference today, folks, is that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So if we all lived under the law, we'd all be smoked by now. But God in His mercy sent Jesus to become sin for us. He loved us so much that He gave Himself, amen, through His Son, to die in our place. And so God had to eradicate, if you will, in the natural, something that was potentially more devastating, more evil, that would... How many know that if you allow evil to continue to go, it will get worse and worse? Do we not see that happening in the Middle East? If we don't do anything about it, it will continue to spread. Sometimes I used to think, well, we just sit around and sing Kumbaya and hope it'll go away. Amen? Drum for peace. Folks, if you drum for peace, they're going to be drumming on your head. Amen? We live in a broken world, a sin-sick world. Sometimes war is necessary. Sometimes there's no alternative. If someone breaks into your house and threatens your family, if you're a man, you're going to stand up and say, not going to happen here. Are you hearing me? That's an act of war, folks. We need to protect our borders. We need to protect our nation. Amen. We need, if it's a good government, it will protect its people. In the natural, folks, we see a picture of what's happening in the supernatural or in the spiritual. The ugliness that we see happening, for example, in the Middle East, is coming out of the pits of hell. Amen. It's manifesting. And people that are given over to evil and are unrepentant about it, there's nothing else that you can do except deal with that person. Are you hearing me? That's why we have justice. That's why we have laws. Come on. Amen. Folks, I don't like war. I don't like even to think about these things, but it's the reality of the world that we live in. God told him, He instructed Saul, amen, to completely obliterate anything to do with Amalek. Now, Amalek represents the flesh. Amalek represents the sinful nature of man. And so what we saw in type in the Old Testament has a spiritual application today in our personal lives. We have to have that severe approach to these things that we're dealing with in our own lives. Are you hearing me? This is the problem. Saul said, well, that's unreasonable. There's a lot of good stuff here that we could take. Surely God didn't mean exactly what he said. Maybe we'll kind of strike a bargain with God and we'll meet God halfway and we'll save the best of the sheep and the oxen. But God said, completely eradicate it. Get rid of every trace of Amalek. In other words, you and I have got to die to the sin nature. We have got to die to our old self, amen? In order for us to live in total victory over sin, we cannot coddle it, we cannot play with it, we cannot meddle with it, amen? We must put it to death. And so, as a result, Samuel, the prophet who had brought the word to Saul, he says, what is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, verse 14, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? God is looking for someone. I hope you and I are those people who will obey His word and that will follow the leadings of His Holy Spirit, that we will walk like Jesus walked, that we will be completely committed, amen, not out of convenience, but out of commitment to love God, to serve God, to walk with Him, amen, because convenient love is if there's something in it for me, then I'll obey it. How many know that Jesus didn't live that way? That's not the model that He set for us. Jesus didn't do whatever He wanted, and He didn't do just what was convenient for Him. He didn't do what just felt good. He did what didn't feel good as well. He did the complete and total will of His Father, and you and I are to go and do likewise. We should be growing. We should be becoming more like Jesus. We should not get into a place of complacency and apathy and to think that I'm doing all right. I'm just here punching the clock on Sunday morning or whatever, doing my little Christian duty, and then the rest of my life. How many know that Jesus didn't die for us, amen, just to save us out of hell? He saved us, amen, from hell, yes, but He saved us so that we could serve Him. That we could be free to serve Him. That we wouldn't have to walk in condemnation and in fear and in shame and in guilt. We don't have to walk in that. We can walk freedom as we walk in the Spirit, as we pray in the Spirit, as we continue with Him, we have life and we have peace. I'm not in condemnation today. I have confidence today. Do you? We have confidence towards God because we are living like Jesus in this world. You know what, folks? I'm not there yet, but that's my goal, is to become like Jesus. And I don't want to be satisfied somewhere in lukewarmville, amen? Just kind of going through the routine and then, okay, yeah, well, just like Jesus. I mean, how many know He didn't just go to synagogue on Sunday and then live the rest of the time for Himself? Jesus walked every day in the Father's will. In this we shall have confidence in the day of judgment, that as He is, so are we in this world. We live just like Jesus. The church needs to wake up. The church needs to realize how far away we are from actually living up to what God has called us to. Folks, I'm preaching to myself. Are you hearing this today? Yes. We need to be sold out. Yes. We need to be on fire for God. Amen? We need to be saturated in His presence. We need the zeal of the Lord, amen, in us, burning in us, driving us, motivating us to love people, to be willing to lay our lives down for our brethren, for one another. Not to come with, what can I get out of it, God, but what can I do for You, Lord? When I look at all that You did for me, all You went through for me, how You totally lived a selfless life, denied Yourself, went to the cross for me, and I've come and received the benefits of that mercy, what can I do for You now? How can I live for You the rest of my life? I want to walk just like Jesus did. I want to be like Him. You hear it today? It's not okay, folks, to give God partial obedience. The Lord told Saul through Samuel, He says, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings, verse 22, and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or listen than that of the fat of rams. Sometimes, you know, people think that if I just pay God off, or I give an offering, or I do a little thing over here or a little thing over there, it may not be what He's asking me to do, but it's a good thing, and surely God will like me because I go about doing good things. Partial obedience. Are we just doing good things, or are we doing the will of God? Not everybody's going to look the same. Amen. Not everybody's walk is going to be the same. You have your walk, your cross. Amen. Your way. God may call you to education. He may call you to Taco Bell. He may call you to, you know, to be a family man and to serve your family well and to be a model and to be an example. But God is calling us to serve the world, folks. God may call you to be a mechanic. You're to be the light. You're to be the salt. Amen. You're to live like Jesus in that shop. You're to be Jesus to the world. When the world looks at us, they should see Jesus. And you know why they're going to see Jesus? Because we've been with him. You know why they knew the disciples? There was something more to them than these roughneck, you know, uneducated fishermen. Is because what? They had been with Jesus. We need to be with Jesus. We need to be worshipers of Jesus. We need to be saturated with his spirit, amen? So that when people look, they're going to see something different about you and I. There's going to be the glory and the image of Christ coming forth, amen? I want to look like Jesus. In myself, I can't do anything. In my flesh, I cannot please God. I can only please God in the Spirit. That I have a heart that's in communion with Him. A heart that is listening to His voice. God's not a hard taskmaster. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Walking in the Spirit is a joy. If you could just get it. Amen. It's a joy to walk in the Spirit. There's life. There's peace in the Spirit. In the Spirit of the living God. When we walk in the Spirit, we will have His heart, His burden. We will want to love. We will want to serve. We will want to give. We will want to do just like Jesus because we're one with Him. We're yoked together with Him. We're linked together with Jesus. We're walking together with Jesus. As we walk, we will do what He's doing. As we walk with Him, we will speak what He's speaking because we'll hear His voice. Amen. Does my Christianity look like Jesus? I've said this before, folks, but there's a huge popular message today in the church in America that's all about having your best life now. The focus has been completely on self. Self-gratification, self-satisfaction, self-exaltation, self-esteem, self. Self is the part, that's the problem. Our soul man wants to rule, amen? The soul man has to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit. The soul man has to be denied. It has to be starved out so that we will obey the will of the Father. Jesus would not have been able to do what he did except that he was submitting himself daily to the Father's will. He denied himself. And that's why he lived a sinless life. And God wants you and I to understand what he did at the cross, that he's made all everything available to us by his Spirit to have total life and peace in the Spirit, to have total victory. God wants us to be free from sin. I'm no longer a slave to it. I'm no longer under that taskmaster. I've been set free in Christ Jesus. Now I can serve God. I can walk in life and peace. I can enjoy, amen, His presence daily. And I can do anything that God calls me to do because I can do all things through Christ. Amen. It's not okay to give Him our second best. It's not okay just to do good things for Him. How many believe we shouldn't settle for anything less than God's best? It's not okay for the church to live in complacency and compromise. We are called to overcome and conquer in His name. So we need this total victory mindset. Numbers 33:51, Moses instructed the children of Israel. He said, God told Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, or the land of promise, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images. And demolish all their high places. What is he saying? A complete eradication of evil. You cannot compromise. You cannot pet it. You cannot compromise at all. If you do, it will come back and it will bite you. How many have discovered in your own life, in the areas where we've compromised, that thing always comes back and bites us eventually? So God is saying to His church, it's time to get rid of this stuff. Get the junk out, amen? And you get the junk out by putting Jesus in. Let Him have full control. Submit yourself to God. And then when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He will not be able to overcome you. Hallelujah. Upon entering the promised land, the people were instructed to what? Completely remove all the inhabitants. The inhabitants, Lord, they speak of demons. Okay? They speak of demon spirits, evil spirits in type. Okay? This is what we're seeing here. God says you need to deal with all these spirits, amen, that are plaguing you and your family. Don't tolerate them. Don't make friends with them. Don't put up with them. Deal with them. You know, there's a lot of people in the churches, in America especially, that are bound by demons. They're not free. They don't know why they don't have victory. They just need to have some deliverance. They need them in, first of all, to get into obedience and cancel any legal right the devil has to be there. Amen? If we get into obedience, the devil no longer has a legal right, and then you can tell them to go in Jesus' name, and they don't have any place to come back. The door's been closed. Sometimes the reason why people are dealing with problems, they just can't ever overcome it, is because they need to be set free. Amen? That's why Jesus said, cast these things out in my name. And then he said, remove all the idols, the false gods. And all the high places, what is a high place? I want you to hear this. A high place are these pagan altars or shrines that were on the tops of mountains. What are they today? Today they are the spiritual fortresses over our cities. And they're strongholds in our personal lives. He says you need to destroy those high places. You need to bring them down. Folks, in the heavenlies, in the second heaven around us, there are these forces at work, amen, these spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And these high places need to be dealt with, but this is the thing. If we don't deal with the high places in our own lives, we will not be in position as a church to bring them down in our community. I've been praying, God's showing me this, that the reason why Shelton is not where it should be right now is because the people of God are not where they should be right now. Amen. We need to topple these things in our own lives. We need to take control of our own lives. Amen. We need to discipline our bodies and bring them under submission. They're to serve us. We're not to serve our bodies. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of human origin, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds. What are our weapons? Our weapons are prayer. They're praise. They're our testimony. It's the Word of God. Amen? And the blood of Jesus. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of our testimony. Hallelujah. As we praise Him, as we pray, hallelujah, God moves. Amen? As a priesthood, we are to call heaven in. And when God shows up, the demons automatically flee. Come on, we are to stand in the gap. We need to take a look at our city, amen, and say, we don't have to tolerate what the devil is doing. If we as the church will get right with God and topple these high places in our own lives and repent, amen, as a church, as a people, and begin to cry out to God and to seek His face, God will show up and God will do something amazing in this city. The New Testament church, God moved in such power because it says that every day they continually met in the temple of praise, amen, praising and worshiping God. They were filled with the fire of God. And the people in that community, they walked with the fear of God on them. There were many who said, what must I, in trembling, what must I do to be saved? Because God's Spirit was moving. Oh. Folks, do you understand where America's at today? Do you understand what's happening? We need to pay attention to what's happening to our nation. And we've got to return to the altar. The church is the answer. We have the answer because we have the God, amen, who can answer and can turn things. Don't accept a partial victory mentality. The devil tempts me with that. Oh, it's good enough. You've made a little impact. Be satisfied with that. Come on, folks. I don't know about you, but I want high impact in my life. How about you? Amen? We want to make a difference. You want to make your mark, amen, while you're here. Make a difference. I don't want to live in some lackadaisical, lukewarm existence of IV drip, you know, just getting by every week and crawling into church, getting a little dose and then drying up the rest of the week. Come on, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus stayed connected. Jesus, amen, he held on to the Father every day and he submitted himself to whatever the Father had for him to do, even if it meant that he was going to be uncomfortable in doing so. The problem with America is too many of the churches today are just speaking about comfort all the time. Just to coddle and to comfort, folks, there's a time for that. But the problem is, it's been all about that, and it hasn't been about the will of God. It's been about me. It's been about what can I get out of it? What, God, what do you got for me? I want to be wealthy. I want to be prosperous. I want this. I. Come on. There lies the problem. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. And I have discovered something, and I'm discovering it. I'm still discovering it. There's joy, again, in serving the Lord. Amen. I've served the devil. I've served the world. I've been there. I've done all that. It's dead. It's a lie. It doesn't satisfy. Amen. Like Mick Jagger, I can't get no satisfaction though I try, though I try. That was me. How about you? Amen. My satisfaction is in Jesus Christ. My satisfaction's in the will of God for me and for my life. Amen. Whatever the Father's will, that's what satisfies me. Ah, come on. I live for myself. I'm going to live for Jesus. Let's get back to the altar. Let's get back to God. Let's get desperate. Amen. Let's cry out and call heaven down over this place, over this city, over our families, over our lives. And let's not tolerate Amalek. Amen. Let's not tolerate them anymore. Completely eradicated. Get it out of your life. If God says no, it's no. If God says yes, it's yes. Well, is it okay for me to do that? Well, what does God say? Simple answer. If God says no, it's no. If he says yes, it's yes. You know, if we would busy ourselves with the yeses, we don't have time for the no's, right? Heard that a long time ago. All right. Well, you know what? Part two's tonight. Somebody's saying, whew. Hallelujah.